Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Thank you, Father, for blessing us today, giving us wisdom, especially in the matter of warfare against enemies. Thank you, Father, for giving us the victory. It's already done. In Jesus' name, we praise you for it. We thank you for wisdom today to help us to agree with you in this battle and win and be overcomers. Amen. All right. We're going to call this How to Have Victory Over Enemies. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the first thing you have to do is to sanctify yourselves for the battle. We're told in 1 John 3:21 and 22, Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have boldness towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. So, you need this boldness of heart, or otherwise the devil will come and accuse you, and you'll lose faith, right? So, in 1 John 1 or 9, we're told, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So then you can have boldness towards God. If you do that honestly and believe the promise that he will cleanse you of all unrighteousness, then you can have that boldness towards God, right? And we're told in Romans 6, 11 through 14, Even so, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. This is where justification by faith comes from. Jesus took away your sins, and so you can believe it and stand on it. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. If you don't believe it, you will not have victory over it, that you should obey the lusts thereof. Neither present your members unto sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves unto God as alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. In other words, don't put yourself in a position to sin. Don't willfully do that. Okay? For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. So, I'm sure you can do a lot more studying on this, and especially justification by faith. And the devil always comes to condemn you for things from your past, or he comes to condemn you for something he spoke into your mind. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, right? You put it under the blood by confessing it and being cleansed from all unrighteousness. And if he comes back, you have to do warfare against condemnation, right? Lots of people are dealing with this. The devil knows how to do this, been doing it for a long, long time. My suggestion to you is that when he comes, and it's something you've already confessed and already put under the blood, you know, go on the attack against him, you know. Run off condemnation. Run off fear. Run off doubt, you know. And one of your best weapons against him is to know that the victory is already accomplished. In Colossians 1 and 13, it says, Who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We're not under the power of darkness. If you're walking according to your conscience, or even if you failed and confessed your sin and got back on track, you are not under the power of darkness, and you should act that way and speak that way and think that way, or you'll lose the battle. John 16 and 33 says, These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Well, notice, we're to be happy because he's already overcome the world for us. We're entering into his works through faith, Paul said. So if you want to do his works, You must believe that your sins were taken away and that you've been given the victory. Also, John 12 and 31, he said, now is the judgment of this world. Now, that means then, right? He said, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Well, was he cast out? He was cast out by faith, was he not? Faith in what happened there at the cross. And we still claim it. He has no authority and no power. He's here to deceive people who don't believe the gospel. They don't believe the good news. He has no authority and no power. Exercise your authority over him, right? The promises are put there so we can use them as a two-edged sword, right? John 19 and 30. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is finished. He knew that he had overcome the world. He had conquered the enemy by that sacrifice. And everybody who has faith in that sacrifice will have that victory. And also Luke 1, 68 through 75 says, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he hath visited and wrought redemption for his people. It's done. And hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets that have been from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, it's been accomplished. Notice. To show mercy towards our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. Yes, he made that covenant with Abraham, as we were saying recently. This covenant is still with us. The law did not supersede that covenant. It was a meantime thing until the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and that was Christ. And, of course, everybody who is in Christ has this, right? If you abide in him. The oath which he sware unto Abraham our father, to grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, should serve him without fear. Notice, this is a promise from a long time ago, and it's still true today. In holiness and righteousness before him all our days. It's our right to walk in holiness and righteousness and overcome the enemies. It's already been accomplished for us. We're simply stepping into the works of God through faith in Jesus Christ and his word, right? Ain't God great? Another thing you're going to want to do the whole time you're doing warfare against an enemy or want your victory over an enemy is to pray always. At all times. Ask for everything. God knows you're depending upon him when you're asking him. You're not depending upon yourself, your ingenuity, your strength, your money, whatever, on and on. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And Hebrews 4 and 16 says, let us therefore draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help us in time of need. Go boldly before the throne and do it all the time. You can go boldly. You don't have to be ashamed to go and ask God. You shouldn't come up with, you know, cliches that God's too busy for this or whatever. This is what he says. We have to honor him by what he says. He wants us to go boldly before the throne of grace so that we can receive mercy and find that grace and help in any time of need against an enemy that's already been conquered, for goodness sake, you know. Ain't it great? It's good to remember the good news, the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. So that's what we're talking about today. And of course, we always talk a lot about exercising your authority. If you don't, the devil will exercise his. Luke 10:17-19 says, "And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in thy name." In thy name. "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you." So we have this authority. If we exercise it, will it automatically come to pass? Why, no, it won't. We have this authority. We are to exercise it over Satan and over all of his angels, all of his demons. The demons are subject unto us. And Jesus said, "Well, I saw Satan falling from heaven." Well, who was doing that? Well, they were. And the saints ultimately will figure this out, and they will do it. But we can do this anytime and all the time. It's our authority to cast down Satan and his angels. That means cast down their authority over us, their power. He's the prince of the power of the air, right? But he has no authority or power over us. So we should be exercising our authority over him. Amen. And also says Revelation 12:7-11, which is a principle that is true for now. But what he's talking about is this being manifested in the time when God's people get the revelation and start acting upon it. Right? So since it's good for now, I'm going to share it with you. "And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon, and the dragon warred with his angels." Remember, even before this, the dragon was seeking to destroy the man-child and failed. The man-child was caught up to the throne, which is what? Authority. Oh, he did not want that to happen. He doesn't want you to be caught up to the throne of authority. He doesn't mind lukewarm Christians. There are no problem to him. There are no threat to him. When you find out you have been sanctified through the work of Jesus Christ, delivered from sin, and capable of throwing him down, that's when he worries, right? So Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon, and the dragon warred with his angels. Notice the dragon, who is said to be the devil, has angels. Some people say they're not angels. They're angels. The Bible says so. "And they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world." The whole world. Everybody is deceived by him, except for those who get these revelations. "He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, Now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down." Look, the accuser of our brethren. You know there's a lot of little accusers out there that work for him, and that's all they do is accuse others. I notice you've seen the political realm, how the very left wing is accusing the people on the right, including Trump, of doing the very thing that they are doing. And they do it all the time. That's the devil in them. That is demon possession. That is what the devil does. He's always accusing the brethren. Always. He can't stop. And the people, these are not like people that get offended with you and go away. No, they are demon possessed. And that demon in them is wanting very badly to accuse you and to lie and to slander you and to bring you down. Don't you accept it in your mind? See, you're not supposed to accept his accusations against you in your mind, his slander against you in your mind, nor through other people. Don't accept it. He said, the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him. Now, this is the same way we're going to overcome, because of the blood of the Lamb. You see, Jesus took away our sins. We're delivered by the blood. We're washed and cleansed by the blood. And because of the word of their testimony, because they held fast their confession, we have to hold fast the confession of our hope firm until the end, right? Hold fast the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto death. In other words, they were willing to give up the old life, the old man. Those that are not willing to give this up, they will be your enemy. They will fight against you. They will be on the side of the dragon. They will seek to devour you. So, pity them. I mean, don't worry about them. Pity them and pray for them. You know that they will see through it and come through it. But resist them and be honest with them, just the way Paul and Peter and Jesus were. Tell them who they are so that they can repent. Tell them where they're going to go if they don't repent. All right? And, you know, this brings this to mind, of course, it should for all of us, and that is we're to wrestle with the demons and not the people. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Well, that's what we need right there. How do you get that? Where is it? Okay, he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's a deceiver. And his people are deceivers. Notice, the people who persecuted the saints all the way through the Bible were who? People who called themselves Christians. But they were not. They were the devil's little accusers, right? Okay, for our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and against the powers and against the world rulers of this darkness, and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So we're dealing with demons. These enemies that come against us, these are demon-possessed people, you see. And that's what we got to deal with, is the demons. They don't have a power to overcome them anymore. They lost their authority over them. They lost the knowledge of the gospel. They lost everything that they're taught. And so they're totally given over to this, and they think it's righteous and true. Notice that the left wing in the political side, we've noticed and been told by the Lord that the same thing that's going on in the political side is going on in the spiritual side. There's a parallel, a perfect parallel. So the demons are through the left, constantly trying to drag Trump down, and the demons in the church are constantly trying to, first of all, drag the man-child down, like the dragon in Revelation 12. But we know they fail. They fail because the man-child's caught up to the throne. He exercises this authority, in other words. Okay? We do too. We always have to exercise our authority over the wicked demons. We have authority over the demons. Okay? In the people. That's how you deal with it. So he says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Okay. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins with truth. Girded your loins with truth. Hold on to the truth. See, the truths that we're talking about here will give you authority over the demons, and so will give you authority over the wicked who are ruled by the demons. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. So your heart, your innards are protected from the enemy's arrows, spears, whatever, if you're walking righteously. How do you get there? We already spoke about that. Confess your sins and then confess your Savior. Once you've confessed your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you, and then you confess your Savior. And in the course, the devil is coming to condemn. He does it through people. He does it through spirits. He does it in your ear. He does whatever. Don't let him deceive you. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the good news of peace. Where did we find that? We just spoke about it, how that it was given to us by Jesus. He gave us peace from our enemies. He gave us deliverance from our enemies. Praise be to God. They'll never have peace. There is no peace to the wicked, says the Lord. They'll never have peace until they repent. But you can have peace, right? And withal, taking up the shield of faith. Yes, you know how to protect yourself. Is don't let any of the fiery darts of the wicked one come into your heart, come into your mind, because you have this shield of the knowledge that you were delivered, that you have authority over them, that you were saved, healed, whatever it is you want from God, you know, the promises are there. Take up your shield of faith. He kills many people because they don't hold on to the faith in the promises of God. Many people, lives are shortened. They die before their time because they don't have the shield of faith. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. Yes, he's coming against you. He's making war against you. He speaks against the word. If you need a healing, he speaks against it constantly. If you need a resurrection, he speaks against it constantly. And yes, well-meaning Christians around you will try to talk you out of it, right? And, you know, since we were healed by his stripes, we are healed, you know. And take the helmet of salvation, which is what? To protect your mind, right? Because he comes against your mind. He wants to tell you that you are not sozo. Or soteria, salvation. Sozo is saved. He wants to tell you you don't have that. And he wants to put fear in you. That you aren't saved from sin, sickness, the curse, etc., etc. That you don't have the salvation from these things. You have this helmet. Cast it down. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You got to swing it against the devil. He is a real enemy, but he can't do anything with the sword of the Spirit. With all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons. There it is again. Praying at all seasons in the Spirit. You know, praying in the Spirit is so powerful. You will cast down the works of Satan by praying in the Spirit. Keep it up. Don't give it up. Keep it up. Praying at all seasons in the Spirit. You know, I will pray with the Spirit and with my understanding also, Paul said. So praying with the Spirit is not praying with your understanding. It's praying in tongues. If you don't have that gift, so that the Holy Spirit can pray through you according to the will of God and with faith, then you're missing something. Go and ask God for this gift and receive it. Receive it by faith. Have people pray over you, whatever. But receive this gift. You need this when you're in war against the enemy. And watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. In other words, pray for you. You know, you have your brother's back, you know, pray for your brother and sister in the Lord, because God will bless you. Remember when Job prayed for his persecutors, the faction that was against him? God delivered him. He gave him grace because he was giving grace, right? And while you're doing all this, Be sure and do not trust in the strength of man, because God's offended about that. His power is made perfect in our weakness, right? Psalm 44, 3 through 7 says, "For they get not the land in possession by their own sword." Now, if you know and understand, you've been studying with us a while, you know that the land is us who drinks the rain from heaven, right? We are God's tilled land, the Bible says. And if we bring forth thorns and thistles, we're nigh unto a curse, right? We are not to be bringing forth the curse. We're to be bringing forth the fruit of Jesus. But they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. But thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou wast favorable unto them. Well, we want the favor of God. There's that grace that you go boldly to the throne for. Favor, that's what it is, right? Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverance for Jacob. Amen. Amen, Lord. Through thee will we push down our adversaries. Notice there's lots of adversaries, not just the adversary who's called the devil, but he's got lots of children out there to do his work. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us. There it is. It's already done. Thou hast saved us from our adversaries. You have to have this knowledge. That's part of the sword of the Spirit. And hast put them to shame that hate us. Yes, he does that always. Puts them to shame. Psalm 146 and 3 says, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help." Yep, you know, God has a vessel. President Trump is a vessel, for instance. And but you're not to put your trust in him or what he can do or what he can't do. You're to pray for him, right? Your trust is not in him. People think that he's a very wise and very smart man. I'm not taking anything from him. He is all these things. But this does not give you victory over a spiritual enemy. It does not. It cannot. No amount of natural wisdom will conquer these spiritual enemies. It has to be God's wisdom, right? And God's wisdom given to him, and God's wisdom given to us who pray for him and others. Right. So put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. God's offended about this. He doesn't want this. If you want to see somebody fail, trust in them. You know, because God's not going to permit you to do that. And by the way, in the battle, fear not. Fear not. As Jesus said, Deuteronomy 20, 1 through 4 says, "When thou goest forth to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and people more than thou, thou shalt not be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee." He is with thee, O glory be to God, who brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. See, he brought you out to save you and deliver you and give you the victory over the enemies in the promised land, right? Amen. "And it shall be, when you draw nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, you draw nigh this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint, fear not, nor tremble." You remember Gideon's army? Anybody that was fearful was to go home, because they weren't going to be nothing but weight for everybody else and could cause you to lose the battle. Notice when Jesus went in to resurrect the dead, he took three of the most faithful disciples with him in there. He didn't want any of the people that were crying and moaning and groaning in one case. You know, he didn't want any of them. He wanted nothing but faith in the room, right? Not saying that God can't do it. He does do it in front of people, like the widow's son. But in general, he does it quite often when the fear and the unbelief is not in the room. Neither be ye affrighted at them, for the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies and to save you. Ooh, praise be to God. And if he spoke it to them, he spoke it to us. We who are born from above, right? And, you know, a great battle was fought. And God gave the victory to those that just praised him. 2 Chronicles 20, 1 through 24. And it came to pass after this, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them some of the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude, which we just addressed, right, against thee from beyond the sea, from Syria. And behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, the same as in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. Now, he's not supposed to do that. But he did set himself to seek the Lord. That's a good thing. If you fear, get rid of the fear. Talk to the Lord, right? And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Another very good thing to do when you're fighting with the enemy, fast, right? And Judah gathered themselves together to seek help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Amen. Good thing to do when the enemy's without. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Art not thou ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Remember this, folks. God is sovereign. He is over the enemy. Constantly when the enemy came against God's people, especially when they were in sin, God said that he sent them over and over all through the scriptures. He is an authority. He can send them and he can send them against you so you can clobber them. Yes, and he does that too. He confesses that in the word too. So, and in thy hand is power and might so that none is able to withstand thee. They believed in the sovereignty of God. Didst not thou, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and give it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? Yep, he did. Didn't he give you your land for your spiritual man to live in and rule in? Yes, he did. He wanted you to go in there and conquer the old Canaanite, the old man of the land, and take that land away from him, take his house away from him, and live in it yourselves, right? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if evil come upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, sounds just exactly like what we've been learning that the deep state is going to bring against apostate Christianity. Are you ready? Well, you will have to be able to withstand this. We will stand before this house and before thee, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, and thou wilt hear and save. Call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right? And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, that's the Edomites, right? These are traitors. They're coming against their brother. These are factious people who are coming against Jacob. They're kinfolks. Whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned aside from them and destroyed them not. Behold how they reward us to come and to cast us out of thy possession. That's their purpose. The enemy wants to cast us out of, you know, they want to take over America, don't they? They want to take over the church, too. So it's the same people. They got the same demons, exact same thing. Cast out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Lord, we're looking at you. We're asking you give us the directions. You're the general. We're just the followers here. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite, and the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the assembly. And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Fear not ye, there it is again, neither be dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. It is God's battle. Praise be to God. He's already told you what he's done, right? And you want to see him move? Continue to believe what he has done concerning your enemies. Yeah. 16. Tomorrow go ye down against them, and behold, they come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the valley before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. There it is. Not our works, right? Not fighting with flesh and blood. Yep. Mm-hmm. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. So you have to know that, you have to believe that the Lord is with you. You're justified by faith, right? That means you're accounted righteous by your faith, that the Lord has taken away your sins, right? And of course, if you forgive, you're forgiven. So you can't take part in that unless you forgive, right? And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with an exceeding loud voice. They were praising God, thanking God for the victory, right? And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he hath taken counsel with the people, he appointed them that should sing unto the Lord and give praise in holy array. You know what praise is, right? Hallel. It means to brag on God. What has he done, right? Well, he gave them a victory already. He said so. And they were just to go bragging on God. In holy array. That means dressed up with righteousness and holiness, right? As they went out before the army and say, Give thanks unto the Lord, for his loving kindness endureth forever. Woo-hoo. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set liers in wait against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. Again, these were all, kinfolks. They factioned against their brethren that were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. Oh my goodness, what happened? The factioned. And when Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked upon the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and there was none that escaped. Okay. So, praise means bragging on God. Right. Yes. And this will give victory over enemies. Like Psalm 149, 1 through 9 says, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Amen. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for the absolute victory you've given us over the enemy, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Notice salvation is salvation from enemies too, right? Some people narrow salvation down a lot. You know, they don't see what it covers. It covers everything you need. Soteria means salvation from our enemies in every form and fashion, right? All my needs provided. Let the saints exult in glory. Let them sing for joy upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the nations and punishments upon the peoples. So they're executing this by coming against the very demons that are upholding these people, right? That's what we're doing. That's what we're told to do. You know, in the Old Testament, they did wrestle with flesh and blood, but it was a type of wrestling with principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, right? To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, and to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all of his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Why does he say praise ye the Lord? Because that's what you're doing. You're binding their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. You're scattering the enemy. You're turning their what they are sow back on top of them so that they reap what they have sown. 2 Corinthians 2 and 14, but thanks be unto God who always leadeth us in triumph in Christ. What is triumph? Triumph is the celebration of the victory. Yes. And you do this before you get in the battle. Yes. Who always, notice, always leadeth us in triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest through us the savor of his knowledge in every place. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So, believe and speak the end from the beginning. And, of course, while you're doing it, be sure and forgive any against you, any who are against you. Mark 11, 23 through 25. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, and I believe he was talking about the Mount of Olives or the Mount of Corruption. It represents a mountain by Jerusalem that is corrupt in its doctrine, in its people, and so on. It represents corruption. Say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea. So a mountain is a kingdom, right? Cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. Amen. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, look at that. Let it sink in. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And whensoever you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against anyone, that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Let me say something about forgiveness. Personal forgiveness you always owe to everybody, no matter what they've done. Okay. Governmental forgiveness is a different thing. The Bible says, if he repent, forgive him. That's talking about people in the body, people who are wanting to come back into the body. Like 1 Corinthians 5, Paul talked about casting somebody out of the body. Later, he asked them to bring him back because he had repented, right? He was exercising dominion over the wickedness in the body. This is necessary. So forgiveness can be governmental or it can be personal. Personal, we always owe it. Governmental, we only owe it when a person repents. If he repents, forgive him. That's what he said. And Joseph said in Genesis 50:20, and as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. He believed in a sovereign God, so he was able to forgive his factious brothers who sent him into captivity and lied about him. And the harlot also lied about him. It represents the same parable, really. And as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Amen. So notice, you are to speak to the mountain. You are to believe you have received. We're supposed to speak the victory first. 1 Samuel 17:45-47 says this. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee. I will take thy head from off of thee, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day unto the birds of the heavens and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, he saves with a little boy. He saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. Yeah, praise God. And he was showing, I mean, they were all running from the giant, right? But he was very bold, and he spoke it ahead of time, and it came to pass. Praise be to God. And I have this little saying I heard from many, many, many years ago. Right song, wrong side. The Israelites celebrated after the Red Sea destruction of their enemies. And before, they were anxious and troubled and fearful and spoke against God. But he saved them for his namesake. So I call it right song, wrong side. Exodus 15:1. Then sang Moses, the children of Israel, this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. Yeah. Well, shouldn't they have been doing that on the other side? Yes, that's what the Lord has taught us. You're the mouthpiece of God. You speak for him. He will bring down your enemies. You speak it. He will bring them down. And, of course, the thing about bringing down enemies is if you bring down the demons that control them, they are then free. If God decides that these are the elect, sometimes they're not the elect, and they're going to their disaster. I mean, it's a forever, hell is forever, as I told somebody just yesterday. You know, hell is forever. We want to be sure that everyone makes it that is elect of God. And otherwise, at least their demons are conquered and they can do nothing to you, right? And Revelation 19:1-2. And after these things, I heard as it were a great voice of a great multitude in heaven, saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great harlot. And that's exactly what's happening and going to happen. I mean, even outside of the book of Revelation, the time frame of the book of Revelation, it's constantly happening. Her that corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. They're celebrating. But I want to tell you, we are always being led in triumph, which is a celebration of the victory. We're doing that now. Notice the verse I just shared, Exodus 15:1, triumphed gloriously. So again, right song, wrong side. Let's do it now. And another thing, while you're in the battle, you must be sure to obey your king and general. Exodus 23:20-23. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee by the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Take ye heed before him, and hearken unto his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. In other words, he won't permit it. You can repent of anything and get forgiven, but he's not going to pardon you while you're in the midst of it. And that's why people got left in the hands of the devil, right? But if thou shalt indeed hearken unto his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies. Notice he said, if thou shalt indeed hearken unto his voice, that's the angel, and do what I speak. God speaks through angels. They are perfect prophets, I call them. Because when they speak in the name of the Lord, they are speaking the Lord's word. And I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries. Yes, they may come, all their railing and all their whatever, you know, threats and reviling and whatever, but God will turn on them. For mine angel shall go before thee, and will bring thee into the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Canaanite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, and I will cut them off. Those in the land that are the old man, and they are not the new man, don't belong there. They were to continue walking through the whole land and destroying these enemies. And you too are to do that. We are doing it on a larger scale in the government. We are doing it on a smaller scale in our individual lives, because this land, like Hebrews 6 says, is us. The old man is not to rule this house. The spiritual man is to rule this house. Numbers 14:41-43. And Moses said, Wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord, seeing it shall not prosper? You won't prosper if you're breaking the word of the Lord. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that you be not smitten down before your enemies. Some people go up against their enemies and they're smitten down because they've sinned. And in this case, they had. For there the Amalekite and the Canaanite are before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you are turned back from following the Lord. Therefore, the Lord will not be with you. So if you're not following the Lord, don't think you're going to go up against the enemy and win against the enemy. Right? You can go boldly before the enemy if your conscience is clear. Right? And 2 Chronicles 24:20. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest. And he stood above the people, and he said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, so that you cannot prosper? Cannot prosper. Cannot prosper. Notice. Because you have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. Yes. So we can't win against our enemies if we've forsaken the Lord. But if you confess your sins and you turn to the Lord and repent, and then he delivers you of all unrighteousness, and then you're able to conquer the enemy, right? And Joshua 6, 2 through 5, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho. That's the beginning of their promised land. It was defended by the old man, right? And the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor, and you shall compass the city, all the men of war, going about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. See, remember, it may not sound correct to you in your natural mind, but obey your general, whatever he tells you to do, you know. He told me today to talk on this. I asked him very plainly, and he told me very plainly. So I'm just obeying, right? Going about the city once, thus shall you do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straightway, straight before him. Okay. And why is a trumpet? Why a trumpet? You know, a trumpet, of course, breath, can be turned to intelligible, something heard. And a trumpet represents that, turning breath into something that is heard, something righteous that is heard. Like Gideon's army, you know, they blew the trumpet and the enemy went all, you know, all out to kill each other. So it's the voice of the Spirit, because breath and spirit is the same word, the voice of Spirit spoken through the trumpet, brought down the enemy. Amen. How awesome. Okay, I think we're going to take up this again later. So thank you, Father, for this in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask you to also bless Michael and the brethren as they share. And thank you so much for that. We're thanking you for victory over our enemies, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, saints, we'll do this again sometime. Good night.